possible, I'm aware the time is late. Secondly, I'd like to also take this opportunity to thank Rabbi for arranging this wonderful evening. It's such a great thing for people to come together, to prepare ourselves ahead of the Chagim, and learn some beautiful Divrei Torah. This is just a collection of interesting sources about the, shall we say, a small comment in the Gemara, which has generated a lot of halachic and agadic discussion. So, and it begins with the following question. Why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? Truth be told, we know that we're supposed to recite Hallel on days of celebration, and certainly there's not many days more happy in the Jewish year than Purim, so it seems to be a given that we'll be reciting Hallel as part and parcel of our religious worship. However, in actual fact, we don't recite Hallel on Purim, and this is addressed in the Gemara Megillah, which is source one. And it begins by listing to us our Ben Vishwan and Nevi'im, and Shev and Nevi'os, and Yisnov and Yisrael. There are 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'ot amongst the Jewish nation. They didn't add, they didn't detract from that which is written in the Torah, Chutz and Mitzvah Megillah, with exception of Mitzvah Megillah. And this is a Megillah itself, the reading of Megillah is an addition after the time of Matan Torah, and the Kalva Chomer, shall we say, in enabling them to add to the canon of Jewish practice and Jewish readings is derived from Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Ma'av du'l-e-cherot amin on-shirah, just as recited Shirah from going from slavery to freedom, mita l'chaim lo'kol shakein. Surely, given the fact that we were threatened as a Jewish nation, threatened with annihilation, and then succeeded to find salvation from that dire situation, surely we should be reciting Hallel. If that's the case, and that therefore gives us Rashush, how we say, to establish Purim as a Chag and add Mikra Megillah as a mitzvah, that would certainly require us also to recite Hallel during Purim. So the first answer to the Gemara is the following. Answer A is, we don't recite Hallel on a miracle that took place outside of Israel. There's a problem with that. The other problem is the first time we recited Hallel was outside of Israel, right? With Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the next B'chutz adds, Hei Chayim in Asirah. Well, how do we say Hallel on the original occasion of leaving slavery from Egypt? Until the Jewish nation entered the land of Israel, then all lands were considered, shall we say, to be worthy that if a miracle were to take place, then the Jewish nation should be able to recite Shirah. Well, once the Jewish nation established themselves in the land of Israel, then a distinction was drawn between the land of Israel and all other lands, and therefore if a miracle took place outside the land of Israel, that didn't give us permission to recite Hallel to commemorate that miracle. Rav Nachman Amar Kriyat Hazel is in the However, Rav Nachman has an alternative approach to this whole situation. He kind of says the following, and I'm going to read into his words, and then we're going to kind of unpick this and find. He says, we do say Hallel on Purim. The reading of the Megillah is Hallel. Kriyata zu hilulah, right? The reading is the Hallel. Rava Amar, whereas Rava responds to the following. Bishlo mahata mahalak ahalei avdei Hashem lo avdei paroi. He disagrees, and he says there's a stark contrast between the situation of Purim and Yitzhak Mitzrayim. In Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we left the slavery from Pharaoh and became a free nation. However, at the end of the Purim story, in actual fact, I don't know if you realize it, it's kind of like a strange ending. They ended up still having to serve a Hashverosh, having to pay lots of tax, kind of like, woohoo! So it doesn't seem to be sufficiently worthy, therefore, to recite Hallel. And for our purposes, we'll just leave that there. There's a discussion a little bit further on about different lands, but soft, we have a machlok between Rava and Rav Nachman as to the reason why we do or do not recite Hallel on Purim. According to Rav Nachman, we do. That's called Mikra Megillah. According to Rava, we don't because Purim didn't end up quite as happy as we'd like it to be. Ad kan, the machlok is in the Gemara. So, to take the question quite simply, do we have an obligation to recite Hallel on Purim? You would say?
No.
No, according to Rav and according to Rav Nachman, do we?
Yes, because we already did it.
We already do it. So kind of, the implication kind of is, we have an obligation to say Hallel, but we do it in a different way. Kind of like there's an alternative Hallel once a year. Instead of singing all those songs, oh my goodness, great, right? Instead we hear a story, it's wonderful, and we get to bang with Haman. It's almost more fun, right?
What would be the opinion about Hanukkah?
Okay, we're going to get to that. Rambam's going to hopefully clarify what's going on here.
that you're not participating in the Nikram, are you listening to it as Kiwi, you, but it's not like you're singing.
Okay, well, one can perhaps distinguish between the means by which the halal is achieved, but perhaps from first glance, the opinion of an Achron is we say halal through Mikra Megillah. It's a kind of one in an annual event, but so be it. In the natural fact, Rambam seems to codify the opinion of Rav Nachman. That's perhaps surprising, because Rav Nachman was a teacher of Rava. Okay, and there is different rules of thumb in Pesikah. Generally, we say halakhic of Atzmai. We pass them according to a lack of authority. If Rav Nachman is a teacher of Rava, surely should pass on it. Rava. But seems to be an exception to the rule is when the teacher and the student are arguing, we rule according to the teacher. So Rambam brings down the psak of Rav Nachman, and he says the following. In the source 2, V'lei halal shel Chanukah bilvad u'medivei sofim. He says, not only is the halal of Chanukah medivei sofim, which is generally understood to be of rabbinic origin, and a krat halal alam medivei sofim. In fact, the recitation of halal in all situations is medivei sofim. We call it amim shegomim ba'alavim. And in fact, there are 18 days in which we're required to say what we call nowadays full Hallel, Elohim, and these are they, Shnat Shmei Chag, this is Sukkot, Shnat Shmei Chanukah, Rishon Shel Pesach, Yom Tzert, Aval Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim, and then Hallel, the Kisha Henry, Shuvah, V'yah. We don't say Hallel and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur, because these are scary days. And we do not establish Hallel on Purim because the reading of Megillah is a Hallel. According to Rambam, in fact, take the question again, but just through the lens of Rav Nachman, do we recite Hallel on Purim?
Yeah.
But we recite in a weird way called?
Mikra
Megillah. Now, in actual fact, before we go on to discuss that Rambam, what would be the Nachman in? Meaning, why do I actually care? We've got machlok between Rava and Rav Nachman. According to Rava, we don't say halal on Purim. According to Rav Nachman, we seemingly do, just in a weird way, right? What's the nafkamin? What's the halachic distinction between these two opinions? Let's take a simple example. What happens if you haven't got a?
Megillah.
Megillah, right? The simple nafkamin is, if I haven't got Megillah, then the best thing to do is to recite halal. Because Megillah is basically kind of like taking the form of halal. You haven't got the Megillah, then just do the next best thing. That's an afkamin which we're going to come back to pretty soon.
One question?
No.
The Kriya of the Megillah, according to this, is for the sole purpose of reciting, in place of reciting halal, and that there's no individual mitzvah of Kriya Megillah in and of itself. Meaning you have a... According to this, it sounds like you have a chiyuv of halal, and therefore you have kriya megillah. It's not that you have a dual requirement of halal and mikra megillah, and that they're both fulfilled by doing mikra megillah.
I think the latter one. I think it, but that seems too much. We have basically a decree which is ratified by the sages, as was noted in source 1.
Right.
We have mikra megillah. That's one thing, right? Then the Gemara in source 1 kind of then says, well, given that, surely we would be required also to say halal. We say, no, we don't see that secondary thing. It's kind of seen as part and parcel of Mikra and Megillah.
Yes.
But there is a duty of Mikra and Megillah, right, so a bit of mitzvah, and then that would have a corollary of halal. We say there's no need to double up. We kind of kill two birds with one stone.
So according to the example that you gave, that you don't have a Megillah, you could read the Megillah from, let's say, a Sefer. That would be, you would be Yotze, your Mikra Megillah through that, and then you'd have to say Halal separately, or that would be, that you would be Yotze. Is he saying that you have to read Megillah directly from a Megillah in order to be Yotze Halal?
Not necessarily, but we'll
I'm
see
I'm
the
trying
opinion.
To, I'm
no, 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 we'll see. The Rav Avadya Yosef, the one we're quoting later on, kind of hints to the solution you're coming up to. Let's just take what you've said, that we have these two independent requirements which are then fulfilled in one particular act. One requirement, Mikra Megillah, which is from a class. End of conversation. You haven't got a class, you can't really do it. You could perhaps do it a bit earlier on, but one could discuss that. One is the duty of reciting Hallel, which is done generally through a Siddur, which is kind of saying that's part and parcel of the reciting of the Megillah. So if you haven't got a Megillah, could you read Megillah from a Chumash? Well, what would you achieve? Would you fulfill Mikra Megillah? Probably not. Would you achieve Hallel? Probably yes.
Yes.
Probably yes. Again, it's not necessarily a certainty,
right.
But it's a probably. And you'll see.
Oh, you're saying that maybe the only way you're able to be Yotze, the Hallel chiyuv is by an actual cloth itself.
Could be. Maybe not. We'll see. We'll see an opinion which suggests otherwise, but I'm not 100% sure in that regard, and I don't even think that authority is either. So what we have now is this Rambam. As we know, kind of Rambam codifies Gemara. So when we have a Gemara, we're not quite sure how to play it, how to apply it. The Rambam comes along and you'd hope everything gets clarified. But that's never always the case. So we have really two different ways of understanding what the Rambam is saying. One is the way I've kind of led you to understand it, which is the Rambam's understanding of Nachman in the simplistic way which I've explained it, which is Mikra Megillah is Hallel. You ain't got a Megillah, you get to recite Hallel. Really, it's a literal reading of the Gemara, and it's a fairly literal reading of Rambam. However, others disagree, particularly Rav Yosef Kapach has a beautiful explanation on this Rambam. He basically says, that's not what Rambam's saying. In fact, he says, pay attention to the Lashon of Rambam. He says, Lo taknu halev apurim, shekriyat ha-Megillah, hiya halev. If the Megillah was really taking the place of halev, it should have said, taknu halev, but by the way, that was then achieved through Mikra Megillah. He kind of says, through a close reading of Rambam, you derive the fact that Rav Nachman does not believe that Mikra Megillah is a fulfillment of Hallel. He basically says, Mikra Megillah teaches you to be praiseworthy to God. That's what Hallel is. It's kind of equivalent, but not the same thing. So therefore we have now two approaches to understand of Nachman Shitta, as explained in the Gemara and as identified in Rambam. Option A is, they're one and the same thing, Mikra Megillah and Hallel. Right? That's kind of basic reading, and say Rav Avadia said, it suggests that we'll see other authorities too. It's not by no means the only opinion. Option B, as explained by Rav Yosef Kapach and many, many other Rishonim and Acharonim, is actually they are very different things. Kriyat Zehuyin Olah does not mean that by reading Megillah you fulfill Hallel, and therefore if you haven't got a Megillah you can achieve a mitzvah by Hallel. Instead it means when you read Megillah it makes you praiseworthy to God. It's a bit like Hallel. It's kind of like there's a similarity but not non-equivalence. Now, who is the most important halakhist that brings forth this Nafkamina that we mentioned? That if you haven't got a Megillah you should recite Hallel. That is the Mi'iri. The Meiri in source 3.
Sorry, so basically according to that...
Finishing about 5 minutes late.
What you're saying is that Rav Nachman and Rava are actually not arguing at all.
Then
what we're saying is
that they're arguing on one reason or another. Let's say according to Rav Nachman, the way most Rishonim, Acharonim, and I've just mentioned Rav Kapach as a person who identifies it in a very, very exquisite way, he's saying Megillah isn't Hallel, but in actual fact, Megillah is more positive, shall we say, than Rava says. And shall we say, according to Rav Nachman, Megillah is a real happy story. According to Rava, it's a bit iffy, right? It's a bit iffy because it ends up that we have to pay loads of taxes and stuff to serve HaShveirosh. Right. Kind of, that's a different approach to Mikra Megillah. What do we do with that? I haven't a clue, right? So Meiri basically is the first Rishon, perhaps the only Rishon for that matter, who brings this Nachmanina and understands of Nachman according to the way we initially mentioned it, which is he basically says, if you ain't got a Megillah, you recite Hallel. And then he says it black and white, believe me, it's in Hebrew on the sheet. Right, so Davar Yadur Shemir Eim Omim Halev Purim Alav Atamini Ato Nesokua Alav Gemara. It's a well-known fact that we don't recite Halev and Purim, but why we don't do that is a matter of dispute. V'hu Eshe Echad Mehem Omar Shukriyata Zuhi Hilva. And one of the opinions, that's what Nachman said, that the reason for that is because Mikra Megillah is regarded as being Halev, but near Ali Letam Zer, he said, according to me, this leads to the end point, She'im Hayav Makom She'en O Megillah Shukriyata Halev. If you don't have a Megillah, you receive it. It's Halev. You can read the rest of it, just kind of like discussion, the rest of the story. Right, but in simple terms, that's what he says. So isn't that interesting? Wow, so we've got some people reading Rav Nachman one way, we've got some people reading Rav Nachman another way. How do we pass them? We're going to get in a second. Now, let's just tell you something. Some people have issues with the Meiri. And they say, that Meiri, very, very interesting, but he's wrong. And the reasons he's wrong are a number of reasons. Number one, I'm going to give you an outlying reason, but it's mentioned quite a few times in the good books. Source 4 tells us that there's kind of like a prohibition of saying Hallel too often. Right, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Eich Elki, Megumei HaElel B'chol Yom, right, should I be reciting Halal every day? I'm a Ma'a Kwe'a Halal B'chol Yom, or Eich Mechayef Megadesh. It's a Gemara Shabbat, Kuf Yud Chef on the Bet. We read it just, you know, a couple of weeks ago in Daf Yomi. Some you recite Halal every day, basically they're a blasphemer. You think that's reciting Halal every day is a very good thing, a very pious thing. In actual fact, it's a very, very bad thing. Why? We'll get to in a second. In simple terms, though, that's one issue. Basically, anybody tries to suggest we should cite Halal more times than we need to is veering toward this blasphemy, terrible thing, right? So that's one complaint against Meiri mentioned by some people. Far more significant complaints are, if Megillah is supposed to be like Halal, when we should be standing during Mikra Megillah. Now, I don't know about you, but I have no interest in standing during Mikra Megillah. I don't. But I do stand during Halal. So if they're interchangeable, then surely we should be standing during Mikra Megillah. Another complaint against Meiri is in a place where Purim falls on Shabbos. Then we should be reciting Halal, not trying to bring Megillah to be read early or whatever it may be. So some people have beefs against Meiri, and his opinion didn't gain traction. There are sociological reasons why his opinion might also not gain traction, which you may well know that his commentary, which is vast, kind of like got lost. Was only kind of brought into the printing press just 150 years ago, something like that. So that means for grand, maybe 600 years, or certainly 500 years, Meiri's opinion probably wasn't very well known. And often we have this, and Meiri's opinion wasn't very well known. He's kind of like lambast any opinion that's like that. And then his opinion comes to light, and then some people discuss it a little bit more. Maybe if people knew Meiri's opinion in the 14th century, 15th century, 16th century, more people would have adopted it. That's a kind of a question, you'll never know the answer of it, but in simple terms, Meiri is seen to be an outlier, he's about Yachid, right? Kind of, it's really unfair when people say he's about Yachid. Like, if you hold somebody's opinion, kind of like, in a prison for 600 years, he's only going to be the only person with it, right? But he's about Yachid, and Meiri is quoted in numerous things, but in simple, regarding this, he seems to be an outline opinion, and the reason to challenge his opinion in relation to the standing, in relation to the Shabbat thing, basically people say, if his opinion was right, we'd be living very, very differently. Okay, however, whilst many, many opinions did marginalize Meiri, not all opinions did this. You're going to love this question. The truth is, I've got to tell you, I'm interested in Shelos of Shabbat. And the first time I dropped into this sugya was many, many years ago. I was reading a fascinating paper. It's an anonymous responsa book. Actually, you kind of think it's from a Ben Ishchai. Thanks, gosh. She's always interrupting. Called Torah Lishma. It's called Torah Lishma. One of the reasons is that he didn't sign his name, so at least he'd have one safe, which would be Lishma, not to get some honor, whatever. So here goes his question. You'll love this. Source fine. Sheila. Isha choresh en yochala lishma megillah. A deaf woman, she can't hear mikra megillah ma'achim. Gam hi atzma en yodat lilmot tlal. She also can't learn at all. Rak yodat lilmot tfilat chol b'shabbat. She only knows a tfilat, like all pious Friday women, right? And specifically she knows the word of Halel. Should we tell her, read Megillah, you know Megillah, right? You remember reading from primary school, that's whatever you call it, you know, elementary school, right? You know these prayers, recite it, it's almost as good, right? And in actual fact, it's a real shiloh. I know a lot of people who know Halal, and a lot of people certainly can't read Mikra Megillah or aren't in a position that they can hear Mikra Megillah. And one could discuss about whether you can do it with Skype or phone or this and the other. Soft. If a person in a situation where they can't hear Megillah, should we advise them to read Halal? Ben Ishchai, in actual fact, he goes into Sugi. He mentions, of course, Meiri. He says, I'm well aware of the Machloket Rav and Rav Nachman. He understands Rav Nachman in the chat way in which I originally explained it, and the way Meiri distinguishes it, and he kind of says, well, say Halal without a bracha. Okay? He says a maybe. He's not 100% sure. He says, I haven't got time, especially to go into this. I can tell you, I didn't bring it here, but in his Ben Yohayada, which is a Gemara commentary, I know that he takes this shita seriously as well. Meaning, he really was... He didn't simply marginalize Meiri. He took it seriously. He wasn't entirely sure whether we should pass it that way or whether it's a minority opinion. He's going to use a complete emergency situation. He says, say it without a bracha. It's better than nothing. And it is safe. I know that he's sympathetic to this approach. So that's one interesting shaila. In actual fact, Rav Ovadia Yosef had a tshuva discussing this opinion. I decided to save my paper, as you can see, very, very valuable paper. It was 4 pages long. So I want to show you that I own the book. I did actually learn a tshuva. Now, just believe me when I quote the last 4 lines of the conclusion, right? So Rav Ovadia Yosef discusses this whole sugya. He brings in a number of others from, of course, none of us have ever heard of. But notwithstanding that, this is a broad issue that we may well be aware of. He discusses this question of notion of halachic vatriah. Basically, why are we even passing out Rav Nachman? Maybe we shouldn't pass out Rav Rava. Regarding Sikha itself is a very interesting question. And then he concludes the following. He basically says, he understands Rav Nachman also like an Iri a little bit, right? Meaning, whilst the majority of Rishonim don't understand Rav Nachman as being the Shita Tzot, as explicit that Megillah takes the place of Hallel, right? And most other Rishonim and Acharonim knock the Meiri, Rav Ovadia actually says, I don't knock him so much. And he says, I know a few Sfarim that people haven't heard of. Actually, they also don't knock the Meiri. So I'll tell you what I think. And he concludes the following. This is where it comes into the issue of a Chumash. It's not mentioned in any other Sefer. Hamram Kol Amur, again, he just said loads of stuff, right? Misha Eno Megillah B'Purim, somebody hasn't got a Megillah B'Purim, Yigmar Halal B'Libracha, you should recite Halal without a Bracha. He's actually even agreeing somewhat to Ben Ishchai, which is also big news, right? But Nachman Shagam Mikram Megillah B'Chumash, and then he says, oh no, so you know what, I think you should also read Megillah from a Chumash, B'Libracha, without a Bracha. Moshe Pastor Moran, Sheim Eno Megillah B'Shel Yikrael B'Chumash B'Libracha, אף שעבר כתב מי שאין כתובה בחומשים שלנו, כל שם ספרי הדפוס, פשוט שאין יוצאים בכלל. Even though the Bach basically said, to read from a printed text, it doesn't achieve much. אפילו בשעת הדחק, אבל הרב מתי יהודה כתב שאפילו בחומשים שלנו, you can't believe that. In simple terms, if a person is stuck on a desert island and doesn't know what to do, he scrapes a halachic barrel. He basically says, there is a shita of the Meiri that says to say hello. He did that, yachad. It may all be. In actual fact, there are a few other people who go that way. So what? He's cute you were. The Rav Rishonim disagree with Meiri. He says, soft call soft. What do you lose? Certainly, I'd encourage you to say hello without a bracha. Please no. Saying without a bracha means you don't lose much, right? And more than that, reciting Megillah from a Chumash, he says, are also shittot. So he's basically finding a kind of a heter for somebody in that situation. Have you fulfilled your duty? Not necessarily, but you've certainly done your very best thing. But I just want to now conclude with two quick ideas. You've got 5 minutes, yeah? 5 minutes.
Yeah, please.
Of course, you're going to say that. You're the reason. Right. Fine.
I'll get in my pajamas. No
fine. Okay. So, I said to you, one of the complaints against Meiri, and this is one of the complaints about adding Hallel, in general, is this Gemara Shabbat, which says, Magadeth, somebody is a blasphemer. So we cite Hallel the whole time. And I came across an unbelievable explanation in the Divrei Shaul. That's Rabbi Shaul Yosef Nathanson. We know as a tshuva writer, in actual fact, he's a brilliant sefer. And I got it to an amazing thing about Hebrew books, you can download it in about 3 seconds flat. So here, he brings an exceptional explanation as to what it means by Kriyat HaZuhil. Now, we're going to see one final opinion of Rabbi Yitzhak Kutner. So both of these are now outside the framework of halakha necessarily, but they're trying to explain to us, why don't we recite Hallel on Purim, when, for example, Purim falls on Shabbat. Meaning, okay, we've had a discussion in our prophet Rabbi Rav Nachman, whilst we try to explain Rav Nachman, where some people who certainly apply it in a simplistic way when he explained it, such as Meiri, such as Rav Ovadia, I would say many, many people disagree with that, and they basically say he's really talking about Kahalel, like it's a praiseworthy thing. Okay, but we don't. We don't say Hallel unless, say, we're in Shatat Chak, and then we can rely on what Ben Ishchai said, or Rav Ovadia said. But why don't we? Meaning, why do we side towards Rava, especially when Rambam disagrees and passes other way? So it says in Divrei Shaul the following, and I'm just going to read it through because basically I kind of only downloaded it about half an hour ago. So he says the following, Daf Yud Aleph, Halem Nami, etc., Amar Kriyat Azor, Hirolali, Arat Zachbir. He says it seems to be required some explanation. The Ma'inan Kriyat Megillah Lahalo. What's the relation between Kriyat Megillah and Halel? But Hidda Basifa Me'iral Megillah, the Meir's explanation on Masechet Megillah, Limed Mizeh, the Misha Eino Megillah, Yikrei Halel B'Makom Megillah. But to recite Halel in place of Megillah, Lefiza, Ulefim Ma Shabbatak Rambam, Katamo Shal Rav Nachman, Ha'anira Shetzach, Likrot Halel, Bim Eino Megillah. Basic implications, according to the Rambam, according to Meiri, if you haven't got a Megillah, you should recite Halel. Meaning, that it makes complete sense, but most people don't do that. Most people don't pass on that, by the way. But Alam Lai Kamalam Kakin, it says, we don't follow that. Majority of Poskim don't say that, right? But I'm Bircha Yosef, and he says, and he quotes the Chidor, he gives one explanation as to why. And if you only have that, he knew it. And he says, according to my humble opinion, it appears, Tehinei kvar amu v'chol amu helen, v'chol amu rezei mechalef magadev. I've told you before, the Gemara in Shabbat, whoever recites Hallel regularly is a mechalef magadev. It's a blasphemer, right? And he quotes an opinion who explains this. This is a beautiful idea. He says there are two forms of miracles. There's a miracle which is wrapped up in nature, and there are supernatural miracles. Okay, and that's the ultimate miracle. Principally, when you're given the green light to recite Hallel, you're being encouraged to recite Hallel for a supernatural miracle, for a miracle which is evident to all as being a miracle. Okay, therefore, and he's now explaining that Gemara in Shabbat, we recite Hallel every day. He's informing us that God who recreates the world every day, it implies that every day is a difficult miracle for God. Meaning God renews the world every day. If Hallel is equivalent with big miracles, we're kind of saying every day is a big miracle. Now, I may well believe that, but it suggests that God kind of doing something which is beyond the norm. We know that the Reshit Chochmah brings us down that Elohim is the Gematria of Hateva. And therefore it suggests that every change in nature is a change of God's will, and therefore the miracle doesn't last. And therefore it wouldn't be called a nes, right? As the Rambam notes in his Egeret HaTeiman. Therefore, now again, he's explained the Gemara in Shabbat, and now he's going to apply it to Purim. Therefore, somebody recites Hallel every day is basically blaspheming because they're questioning the capabilities of God. And they're suggesting that God changes his mind. And they're denying that sense that God is itself nature. Okay, again, there's a matter to be discussed about that, but that's his approach to it. And therefore, it says to us the following. In Ibn Ezra of Purim, regarding the miracle of Purim, all of Mepharshim have explained at the great length. We know the Purim miracle was a natural miracle. It was a hidden miracle. But, of course, on second look, with greater close inspection, we realize this really was a miracle. Therefore, if you recite Hallel on Purim, you are basically falling into the trap which a Gemara Shabbat refers to, reciting Hallel every day. It means you're not able to distinguish between God of big miracles, the supernatural miracles, and God of natural miracles. I'll pause there for a second because he just kind of finished it off. And I think that's a fascinating approach. What he's basically saying is, again, it's not the halakhic discussion, but the key discussion here is, so why don't we say Hallel? And he's saying a profound explanation, which is, if you say Hallel on Purim, you misunderstand why you say Hallel. And you misunderstand what's the miracle of Purim. The miracle of Purim is God is everywhere. But if you cite Hallel for God being everywhere all the time, you'll be reciting Hallel every time. And that means you won't be distinguished between supernatural and natural. And God wants you distinguishing between supernatural and natural. Why? Okay, God, that's God's business. But in simple terms, that's how God wants the world to be run. And as a result of that, he kind of closes the circle of the complaints of the Me'iri, making a lot more sense. Why do people say the Me'iri is wrong for saying you should say Hallel because it's Gemara Shabbat? He said, I'll tell you the reason why. Because if you recite Hallel on Purim, as I say, you should be reciting Hallel every day. That's his explanation. I think it's a stunning explanation.
It works out very well with the Rishonim who discuss the miracle of Hanukkah. They constantly talk about that Hallel is connected to the mace of the Shemet, not to the military mace.
Right.
And this makes a lot of sense because of
beautiful, right? Absolutely stunning. And honestly, many of these commentaries on Agadata, it was a whole sefer on Agadata, are absolutely stunning. Now, I wanted to tell you one other explanation, which is, it marries in beautifully, by the way. It gives us a refreshing approach to what is Purim. And this is found in Pachadiyat Frank of Yosef's essays on Purim. He says the following. Kushat Gemara, Amai Enom Mim Halab of Purim. Famous question in the Gemara, why don't we say Halab of Purim? Tirta Gemara, Kriyat Azul Hilo Lada, Aino Yadei, Kriyat Megala, Tzim Chabad, Tzim Ringa, Tzim Ringa, Halab. Right, we know this already. Muvav, Bimeiri, Dara Chadash, Me'od, She'im, Embi Adol, Lekwata, Megila, Machma, Eiz, Siba, Shtia, Harei, Zem, Uchiyav, Me'od, Tzim Ringa, Halab. We said the unique approach of the Meiri, if you haven't got a Megila, you say Halab. It is well known that this is an individual opinion on this matter. In actual fact, almost none of the poskim, none of the shonim acharonim, other than a few which you mentioned, basically give this approach much regard at all. But the Pachad Yitzchak asked the same kind of question we were asking beforehand. When we talk about Kriyat Zohar Ilula, your same frash, Kriyat Megillah, who makes Chovat Halel. Right? I should rephrase and say the following. The Gemara suggests that only that through the regular reading you achieve Hallel, and that means Kriyat Megillah is the only means by which Hallel can be recited. Basically, he now puts the spotlight on the Meiri. He basically says, you know what, Kriyat Azul Hilulah does not necessarily mean that it works both ways. If you haven't got a Megillah, you say Hallel. It's telling us the only model by which you can recite Hallel on Purim is through Megillah. And now he gives us a beautiful explanation. When we're required to say Hallel, because a miracle has happened to us. Therefore, the nature of Hallel corresponds to the nature of a miracle. If it's a revealed miracle, therefore, we so too have a revealed, a public Hallel recitation. But with a hidden miracle, and as he reminds us, that means that the miracle of Purim, of course, is well hidden. Then the recitation of Hallel is basically hidden through a different identity altogether. And therefore he gives us the explanation. This is what Rav Nachman is referring to. That through, we recite Hallel through Mikra Megillah because that corresponds to a type of nes that took place. It's a hidden nes, therefore it's a hidden Hallel.
Who's the
Pachad Yitzchak? Ve'en ha-kavana v'zeh da Megillah hu b'makom Hallel. And therefore he says, don't misunderstand the sugya like the Meiri does and other people do, that Megillah takes the place of Hallel. Ela Megillah hu min Hallel b'pnei atzmot. Rather, Megillah is a unique application of Hallel, the Haino Hallel Tamum B'Mithnim, that's Hallel which is hidden within it, the Toch Grat Megillah B'Mithchutz, within the Megillah itself from the outside, Vashel Aken, Imhu Anus, Shel Kriyat Megillah, Hariz Anus, Gamal Hallel. That's his Psaq, he's actually, in some measure, Paskin's a very rare thing, but I haven't seen Paskin even in his essays, but what comes out is the following, quickly summarized, we have two Shittos in the Gemara Megillah, between Rama and Rav Nachman, but Rama is a little bit easier to explain. Basically, we don't say Hallel because the Purim story ends up so positive. According to Rav Nachman, we say Hallel through the means of Megillah or something of that ilk. That's the way Rambam explains it. And that's why we said there's two ways to understand the Gemara and the Rambam. One is that Kriyat Azul Hilulah is mamash, Megillah is equivalent to Hallel. The other one is that Megillah is not equivalent to Hallel. Instead, Megillah is like a Hallel. It's like evoking certain praises of God. The person who understood Rav Nachman in the most explicit way is the Meiri, and many people have issues with that. And we mentioned about the standing, mentioned about Shabbos if we didn't do that. We also mentioned this command Shabbat about Koreh Hallel, Kol Yom Har Megaleth Mechalet, whatever, except the blasphemer. Okay, notwithstanding that, certainly Sephardi poskim seem to be much more comfortable in citing the Meiri. We saw Ben Ish Chai was at least prepared to conceive the Meiri as an approach, and therefore to the woman who couldn't hear, he said he might as well say Hallel without a bracha. We saw Rav Vadim, who does something similar in actual fact, also encouraged people to say Megillah from a Chumash, because that at least achieves that sense of Hallel. We mentioned Divrei Shaul, Rav Yosef Shaul Nachmanson, who basically matched up that Gemara and Shabbat to explain to us why we don't say Hallel on Purim, because in actual fact it would misunderstand what we celebrate when miracles take place. And finally, we're talking about Pachad Yitzchak. He basically says there's two types of Hallel. Hallel for Galo, that's a Hallel recite. Hallel for Nesnitza, that's Megillah. That's why Megillah is specific to Purim, that's it.
So if we take this and we extend it to
Whether or not you say hallel for Yom HaTzmaut, it was not an ace, it was an ace nister. It wasn't, it went through the regular political systems and regular wars and whatnot. And it seems, according to these yeshivas, that that's probably the reason why the yeshiva world in general doesn't say hallel on this day, because based on this understanding, it's an ace nister. So you don't say hallel in that context. Or if you do say hallel, you say it without a bracha.
Okay, so first and foremost, the inyan of ace nister that the Pachadita says, that is an interesting explanation. Not everybody necessarily would buy it. Right, that's point number one. Point number two is you're entirely right. This whole sugya does have further ramifications. Really, then Pesachim, in the natural fact, the Me'iri Zera is very, very specific. He has a Da'at Yachid there too. He basically says, if a miracle happens to you, you say Hallel. Nobody else says that, and the Tzitz Eliezer, in explaining the Shita of the Me'iri, says, here's the Shita Tzor, meaning the Me'iri is completely consistent. He basically says that if a miracle happens to you, you say Hallel. So there's no question. According to Me'iri, right, you can be saying Hallel in Yom HaTzmaut, really without any issue, right? But first on a personal level, let alone a national level. But you're entirely right, either for the idea of Neis Nistar, perhaps you could quibble. Secondly, this idea of adding to Hallel, remember that the fact that people bring that Gemara on Shabbat means that they really are concerned about adding to Hallel. However, other people would basically say, no, it wasn't Neis Nistar, it was a Neis Gola. It was an amazing thing, it was an unbelievable thing, it was a historical thing, and that's part of the kiyum of many, many brachos. And then more than that, don't forget, the part and parcel of the discussion in the Gemara was all about that transition between the diaspora and Israel. There's no greater transition between the diaspora and Israel than achieving the state of Israel. So, and then also discussion about how many Jews are involved. In simple terms, one could reread the sugya to give the green light, and one could reread the sugya to say give the red light. You're entirely right. All this halakhic ramifications are part and parcel of the discussion.